When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Dugout from Sports Mall. I'm Pascal Lemaire and Barney Corkle is here again to give his ever insightful views on the Premier League. Barnes, another crazy round of fixtures with Leicester the only team in the top 4 to get anything in midweek. Let's start with Spurs though. They knew they had the chance to go top last night at West Ham, but they lost there. And now the North London Derby coming up on Saturday. Huge couple of games for them. Are they starting to crack a bit? What do you see with them and their title credentials?
It did look a bit like it last night because they were overrun by West Ham in the first half there. West Ham just tactically blew them away, really. We're always used to Spurs being the high pressing team, high tempo stuff, which has worked so well for them this season. But then West Ham beat them at their own game, really, yesterday. Obviously, the hosts were fired up. It was Tottenham's last visit to the Bowling Ground, so West Ham were desperate for Tottenham not to come away with a win from that one and make it 7 wins in a row, which of course would have taken them top of the table. So for if West Ham obviously really wanted it, Tottenham, they probably needed it, really. It was a big chance. Leicester obviously dropped points on the Tuesday, which we'll talk about a bit later. So it gave Tottenham the chance to go top of the table, and to miss that chance is going to be a really, really gutting blow because everything seems to be going their way, and this just, it's a big setback in their title hopes, and it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to it. Whether Saturday's North London Derby is the worst game possible for them or the best game possible for them to bounce back remains to be seen. That all lies in the result there, but I think that could be a make or break match for their title hopes, because if they lose that one after losing to West Ham as well, it's going to be really hard for them to recover, not just the point deficit that might be against them, but also the psychological thing of losing 2 games in a row. So there were cracks showing for the first time, really, for Spurs, and there's going to be a lot of questions asked of them and Leicester and Arsenal, to be honest. All three never been there before, this close to the title. For Arsenal, not for 12 years. Leicester and Tottenham, not for a long, long time. So there's going to be questions, and Tottenham didn't really answer those questions last night. It was a really disappointing defeat for them. They did have chances, with Kane missing a couple of really good chances, one in particular from point-blank range, which he would have usually put away. But yeah, not really good enough in the end. They were beaten at their own game by West Ham, and it leaves them in a difficult situation going into Saturday.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, actually. West Ham, you know, all their players and the manager afterwards, they said, look, we've seen Spurs play with such high intensity during the season, and we wanted to, you know, the crowd got on their side straight away. And Spurs, yeah, they, like you said, they did get beat at their own game there. You know, the high pressing, the high tempo, West Ham were too good for them. And I mean, Pochettino, you know, he did rest Dele Alli from the start. He didn't play. A slight illness there, I think, but then once he came on in the second half, that did seem to just galvanise the rest of the team, and that's when they did start to play a bit better. But in the end, it was just that that Antonio goal. He's got an incredible record at Upton Park. Mikel Antonio keeps scoring goals. There's a great header from him, but for Spurs not to be able to score, you know, they're usually pretty reliable for that. They've got such a good goal difference this year, and you would have expected them to at least get a goal. But I think the thing as well is you can't take anything away from West Ham. You know, they are sitting there 6th in the table now, only a point behind Man City in the top 4, so you have to give full credit to them. They're having an amazing season, aren't they? So, a disappointing result for Spurs, but considering they had won, you know, their previous 6 league games, it's not the worst result for them. But then, like you said, it's going to be a huge, huge... Well, it already was going to be a huge game, but especially now that, you know, both Spurs and Arsenal lost in midweek. You know, Arsenal come into this 3 defeats in a row in all competitions for the first time in almost 6 years. So, they're having a really bad time of it themselves. And for Leicester to be the only team in midweek to even pick up just a point with that draw against West Brom... Just, you know, every week we seem to say that it can't get any more bizarre this Premier League season, but it just keeps on delivering, and you just don't know where the title's going to go.
It was an incredible round of fixtures yesterday, and I was on the Leicester game on the Tuesday night, and it did feel like it was a missed opportunity for them only getting a point. They played a lot better in that match against West Brom than they did against Norwich, when obviously they stole the late victory, and they're a lot more threatening against the Baggies, and Ranieri said afterwards that he was a lot more happy with that performance than he was in victorious against Norwich. So it would have been a big shame to drop 2 points in that game, because that's definitely what it was at the time, it seemed anyway, to drop 2 points, because they should have won that game. They had their chances. As it turns out, it's probably a valuable point gain, because you could not have expected all three of those teams, Arsenal, Tottenham and Man City, to all lose last night. It's Arsenal especially at home to Swansea, we talked last week about them potentially bottling it with that loss against United, but defeat to Swansea at home is the biggest sign of a bottle job I think I've seen in recent years from Arsenal. It always seems to happen for them. This is, we've said so many times, this is their best chance to win the title in the last 12 years since the Invincibles did it, but that's such a disappointing defeat to Swansea. You'd obviously have to mention that they are unlucky with hitting the woodwork three times, but Wenger came out after the match and said that, and it's not really what fans want to hear after 12 years of not winning the title. They don't want a bad luck. They want to be up there and winning those sorts of games, and they should have won that game. He said after the match for one of Swansea's goal that his team just stopped playing, and he was sort of blaming that on the referee for not giving a foul against Thurza. We said they're not playing, but it's one of the first things you get taught as a footballer is to play to the whistle. We can't blame the referee for Swansea taking advantage of his size not playing. He needs to blame his team for just stopping and expecting the foul to come when it didn't come. So there are certainly problems Arsenal need to rectify, but all three of those below Leicester, to be honest, will be devastated by that run of results. The only positive is the fact that the other three of them did drop points, and Leicester as well dropped points, so it's not as bad perhaps as it could have been for a slip-up from them, but incredible evening yesterday.
It really was, yeah. That was the game that I watched last night, the Arsenal one, and they started so well. They were all over Swansea at the start, and you know, Swansea made six changes from the weekend, and with the fixtures that Swansea have got coming up, you could clearly see that, you know, they were thinking, right, let's probably rest some of our better players, because they have Norwich at home on Saturday, which is, on the face of it, was a much more winnable game for them. They left Sigurdsson on the bench. Pelosi, who scored against Spurs the weekend before, he was on the bench as well. And they made, yeah, so many changes, and they didn't even have their manager there. Giedelin, he had a chest infection, had to go to hospital, so it was Alan Curtis back in the dugout again. And all those signs seem to point that you just thought Arsenal, especially, you know, after losing to Man United at the weekend, you would have thought they would have come out easy win for them, and it did look that way for a long time. You know, they got the opening goal, a great finish from Campbell as well, but after that they were very unlucky not to score. They should have probably gone two up. Like you mentioned, they did hit the woodwork a couple of times, but that the goal you're talking about, the first one where they stopped playing, you know, it might have been given as a foul, but it wasn't clear cut. You know, I think it was a Matt who came through the back of Ozil, and there wasn't much in it. Ozil just fell to the floor, and I think he just expected a free kick. He didn't get it. And yeah, it was a great ball into Routledge and a very good finish from him. But even from there, even getting pulled back to 1-1, they should have easily been able to go on and win. And Sigurdsson came on at half-time. He really changed the game for Swansea, actually. He missed one great chance where he went around the keeper and hit it across goal. And then it was his free kick, wicked delivery into the box. You can maybe say Petr Cech could have done a bit better, but it was coming through a crowded body. All he could do was just try and parry it out. And it just hit Ashley Williams and goes in. So that goal was very lucky from Swansea's point of view. And then, you know, Arsenal, they hit the post and the bar three times. So it wasn't, you know, he did come out and say afterwards that luck wasn't on their side, Wenger, but you shouldn't need luck in a game like that. You should have been able to put it away much sooner than that, and they couldn't do it. And then, to add insult to injury at the end, you know, Petr Cech, I mean, it's kind of hilarious if you're just looking at it from if you're not supporting Arsenal, and Petr Cech goes up for the corner in the 95th minute to try and get an equaliser, and then when he's running back to his goal, he pulls his hamstring. And now he's going to miss the North London derby. And Laurent Koscielny, you know, their best defender, he wasn't there last night, and he's not going to recover in time for the weekend either. So that's their two best players at the back, both not going to be there at the weekend. So the likes of Harry Kane, Dele Alli, even though Kane, you know, missed a couple of chances last night, they're going to be licking their lips at that. And you say the Spurs being at home, Arsenal with those injury problems and the way they're going at the moment, Spurs should start the game as favourites.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And those two injuries are just huge for Arsenal, I think. I mean, you couldn't really write it, because you've checked going up for the corner just, yeah, in a Premier League game with 10 games left of the season. You don't often see a keeper going up for it. So for him to take that decision in the first place was a bit strange. Obviously, a win would have been very important. Even a draw, as they were going for at that point, would have been very important. But it was a sign of their desperation, really. It was a sign that even though there's 6 points between them and Leicester, which isn't an unassailable gap with 10 games of the season to go, it's going to be difficult, but it's not unassailable. It was a sign of the desperation Wenger's feeling now to send Cech up. And you got to say, that injury on the way back, yes, Van Gaal was complaining about Murphy's Law a few weeks ago. That's really unlucky for Wenger, that is. That couldn't really have gone much worse. So yeah, to miss those two against Tottenham with Kane in pretty decent scoring form, apart from against West Ham, and Dele Alli obviously a big threat, it's going to be a big loss for them against Tottenham. And just the size of the game, as I've already mentioned, Arsenal have bottled it lately with a few poor results in a row. That is a huge game. It's really going to be a big test of mental strength as much as anything else for both teams. And Tottenham have got question marks hanging over them after the West Ham defeat, but Arsenal even more so after those defeats. And it's hard to see them bouncing back. Of the two teams, they have more experience of this type of situation just through Arsene Wenger, if not any of their players. But it's hard to see them bouncing back at White Hart Lane with a victory, because Tottenham have been very impressive this season. And the way Arsenal are going at the moment, nothing would really surprise you if they start throwing everything away, just as they seem to do around this time every single year.
Well, yeah, because they've got the... it's not long until they've got that FA Cup replay against... You know, that's not going to be an easy game away at Hull. I mean, if they lose to Spurs at the weekend, you know, four defeats in a row, and then with that FA Cup replay coming up soon after that, you know, Hull are going to be trying to get all over them. They know that Arsenal... won't be very confident going into that. I know they've won the FA Cup the last 2 years and they're on a great run in the competition, but you know, if Arsenal lose that and say Leicester win this weekend as well, the title would be slipping out of their hands, and then you know they're not going to go and win in Barcelona in the Champions League, are they? So the FA Cup would be, you know, as it has been the last 2 years, probably their only real shot at a trophy. And considering where Arsenal were large parts of this season, it would be so disappointing on their part. And it's just incredible to think that Leicester were the only team in that top four to get anything this week. And like you said, they could have very easily won that game against West Brom. They had those chances, Vardy and Morgan, I think those shots at the end, they could have easily gone in, and bar, you know, a cracking Craig Gardner free kick it was, they would have won that game. So, and for Leicester, you know, looking ahead to this weekend, they go to Watford. You know, that's a game they would feel confident of winning, given, you know, Watford aren't in the best form of themselves. And with Spurs and Arsenal playing each other, it's a good chance for them. The only thing you say about this weekend is that Man City... You know, they're the one banker this weekend, aren't they? You know, home to Aston Villa. But last night, City, it didn't go their way, did it?
Didn't go their way at all. It was maybe a hangover from the League Cup final, but Liverpool certainly showed no signs of that. City were just... They were not at the races, to be honest, but that was as much to do with Liverpool's performance as it was Man City's performance, because Liverpool, you can always tell, really, in the first 10, 15 minutes with Klopp's side, whether they're really up for it. The high pressing right at the start, and that was the case. There wasn't many chance in the opening 20 minutes or so. It was pretty much all played in the middle third of the field, but Liverpool were just not giving City any time on the ball, and it was you could tell that they were more hungry for it than City. Obviously, City coming back off the League Cup victory, that can sometimes spur a season on. Last time City won it a couple of years ago, they went on to win 9 of the last 10 games of the season and pip Liverpool to the title, so they would have been hoping for a similar boost from this time around, but it wasn't happening for them. Liverpool, to their credit, played very well. It was one of their better performances, certainly I think their best home performance under Klopp so far. Not quite at the level of the win over the Etihad, they weren't quite as fluid going forward, but still picked up a huge victory for their season, brings them back into the top half of the table and potentially back into the top four race, with 6 points now separating them from City. But with City in this sort of form, you know, you'd have to think this weekend is a banker against Aston Villa. Then they've got Norwich after that, so you'd think they'd get back into form there. But then they've got a huge, huge Manchester derby against United, and there's nothing separating the two sides in terms of points. A couple of weeks ago, we were ruling United out of the Champions League race, but the level on points now with Man City. City are only 1 point ahead of West Ham as well, so... Whereas all season, until probably this past week, we were thinking City arguably favourites for the title once they get everyone back. Right now, the main concern, the main priority has to be securing Champions League football, because it'd be an absolute disaster for the club if Pep Guardiola comes in and they're not in the Champions League, which all through the season, but it hasn't really been thought of until this past week. Everyone was thinking Pep Guardiola coming in, it's going to be huge for the club. No one even considered the possibility that they wouldn't actually be in Europe's top competition, but that is a real possibility right now. The form they're in, lost 3 Premier League games in a row for the first time since November 2008, haven't won back-to-back Premier League games since October, which goes to show the level of their inconsistency at the moment. So they need to shape up sooner rather than later, because United starting to find a bit of form, West Ham in good form, they're really, really threats to the top four places now.
Yeah, and it was just some of the goals they conceded last night, so disappointing, because we talked last week about how good they were defensively in Kiev, and then they were very solid again in the League Cup final, weren't they? For most parts, they dominated that game and offered Liverpool very little. But last night, the goals they conceded, you know, I think all three of them you could probably say very avoidable. I mean, the first one, Lallana's shot, everyone was just so, like, watching the game, everyone seemed so surprised that it snuck in at the near post there as a... wasn't a particularly well-struck shot. And Joe Hart, you know, you probably say he got his angles a bit wrong there. And Second one is a great finish from Milner, but he probably shouldn't have been allowed to get into the box as easily. And then they give the ball away for the third one. And, you know, Liverpool did play it well from that part, and Firmino stuck it away well. But from City's point of view, considering, you know, they still had a lot of great players out there. You know, Kompany, like we've said, is back. We've always said how important him being back was, but it just looked like a very disjointed performance. And they do need to bounce back. But, you know, fortunately for them, it is Villa who seem to have resigned themselves to relegation now. I mean, Everton in midweek beat them 3-1, but Everton didn't even play particularly well there. It was just one of those games where they got three goals, but Villa, they just look completely doomed now. And you can't forget as well, I don't know if, you know, City do still have a game in hand on everyone else up there. And so if they win that, they'll only be a point behind Arsenal, seven behind Leicester. And the way everyone else is going at the moment, they're certainly not out of it yet.
Well, I don't know, 7 points is a big gap to make up on Leicester when Leicester in this sort of good form only lost three games all season, top scorers in the division. So to make up a 7 point gap in the last 10 games or so is big. You'd expect to see City win that game in hand because it comes against Newcastle. But as I say, they've got some big games left, none bigger really than that Manchester derby. So it's going to be difficult for them to overhaul that gap, especially in this sort of form. They certainly need to bounce back. I would personally say their main priority has to be just Champions League football now. I think the title is not fully beyond them just yet, but, you know, it'd take a big, big effort over the last 10 games of the season to overhaul what is now a 10-point gap to Leicester. Leicester in this sort of form don't look likely to give that up. So City, they're in trouble right now, and their main priority has to be securing a top four spot. And, you know, if they can pick up a few wins on the way and maybe hold themselves back into the title race, then it could, then maybe they'll keep fighting till the end. But I think that loss to Liverpool last night was a huge, huge blow to their title hopes, and potentially even a fatal one.
Yeah, it certainly could be. Okay, we've put them off long enough now. Let's go to Man United, who, you know, two really big wins they've had at home over Arsenal and Watford last night. And you have to say that things, you know, look better for them. You know, they played well against, well, they took advantage of an Arsenal team all at sea really at the weekend, and then last night, Watford, the better team for the most part, just couldn't score. Ighalo missed countless chances, and then Mata curls home a fantastic free kick. And like you said, they're level on points now with City. Like we said, City do have a game in hand, but, you know, only goal difference keeping them out of the top four. It's pretty incredible turnaround considering, you know, the podcast, I think 2 weeks ago, it was the title of the podcast was End of the Road for Van Gaal. And now everything looks rosy again.
Yeah, and credit to Van Gaal, you have to give him a bit of credit. He's done well to turn things around. We were questioning the wins over Shrewsbury and Mitchell, and would he be able to do it against top class opposition? Then did it against Arsenal, did it against Watford, got a bit of luck in doing so against Watford, because quite how they won that match we're not sure, but they got the victory, they got all 3 points, and it was a huge victory. It puts huge pressure on Man City above them, and certainly puts their Champions League hopes right back up there, because we were saying a few weeks ago they were dead and buried in the Champions League race, and the Europa League was their best hope of getting into the Champions League next season. But right now, you wouldn't bet against them creeping into the top four, because they're in better form than the two teams above them, certainly Manchester City and Arsenal. They've won the last two league games now. United, where City have lost their last three, Arsenal have lost their last two, so you wouldn't bet against them. And I think we've been saying a few times that Van Gaal, it was about time for him to go, some terrible results. But I do think you'd need to give a bit of credit to the United board for keeping faith. We do say a lot of times that boards get rid of managers far too early, just one bad run of results, and they pull the trigger, get rid of them, and it's too sack happy, the culture in football at the moment. But United board, credit to them, have stuck with Van Gaal, and if it turns out that he gets him into the Champions League, it'll be a decision that's been vindicated. Still, I think the jury is still very much out on Van Gaal with the money he spent, and I think they should be up there challenging for the title. But the United board do deserve a bit of credit for loyalty more than anything, and keeping faith with Van Gaal when everyone else pretty much seems to have given up on him.
Yeah, and I think if they do manage to get into the top four, say maybe go on win the FA Cup or go really deep in the Europa League, it would be hard for them, the board, if someone did become, say, you know, the Mourinho talk is still there, obviously, he seems very keen to go to Old Trafford, but you know, if he still wants to go there, then if it's a great end to the season for United, then especially if they do it this way, winning with, you know, these kids coming up through the academy. You know, Rashford had obviously a fantastic start, didn't continue his scoring run last night, but he had a couple of really bright moments. That one moment when he did a quick step over, got to the byline, put in a cross, and I don't know how that one stayed out. So he still continues to impress him, and there's a few other youngsters as well coming through who have had some bright moments as well. And if he can manage to do that with all the injuries they've had this season, you know, Rooney being out at the moment, some of the other key players at the back as well, it would be some achievement, and maybe not all down to United. You'd probably say it's obviously being helped by the fact that some of the others at the top just seem to be bottling it hugely. But if United can come strong at the end and, you know, really race up the table and get in there, it would be some achievement. And there's also, you know, West Ham, like we said, just 1 point behind them in there. And the way West Ham are going, obviously, like you said, the final season at the Berlin ground, and it seems like a great atmosphere there. They're still going in the FA Cup as well. So those top four sides, you know, they certainly are going to be looking over their shoulder if they don't sort out their act soon.
Yeah, and West Ham, very much dark horses. If they can sign off on from Upton Park with the Champions League place and bring Champions League football to the Olympic Stadium, that would be huge for them. And the form they're in, you wouldn't bet against them. They've beaten back-to-back wins now in the Premier League against Sunderland and Tottenham in the last week or so. And the Tottenham one was particularly impressive. We've already mentioned they beat them at their own game, but the way they played in that match, they would have given pretty much every team in the league big problems there, the way they performed in that match. And they've got players in really good form. Payet is obviously the standout one, but you mentioned Mikel Antonio earlier. He's on a really good scoring run. So they're very, very much in the mix. And there wouldn't have been many people's picks at the start of the season to be challenging for the top four place. And obviously it's been an insane season throughout, so everything's gone out the window, really, in terms of pre-season predictions. But huge credit has to go to Slaven Bilic. I question the decision to get rid of Allardyce, because I think most clubs end up regretting it when they get rid of Allardyce, but Bilic has done a fantastic job. He's got the main reason for getting rid of Allardyce was obviously to improve the way West Ham played, and Bilic has really done that. They're playing good, attractive football. They're getting the results as well, and they are very, very much in the mix for a Champions League place. I still would probably put the likes of City and United just ahead of them, but to be honest, that's really only on reputation rather than form at the moment, because West Ham are in fantastic shape at the moment, and they're looking good to push for the top four until the very end of the season.
Yeah, so back-to-back wins for Man United and West Ham, but both of those games coming at home, those two games, and they've got tough away games this weekend. Those two, West Ham go to Everton, who, you know, it's quite a good feel at Everton at the moment with the new $200 million investment from Farhad Moshiri, who, you know, says he might be spending some money in the summer. Man United, they go to West Brom, who, you know, West Brom, they seem to be playing a bit better at the moment. You know, Berahino's back, and that saga seems to be finally over. Obviously got that point at Leicester. So neither of those two, tough games for them this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, they are. And I've been pretty impressed with West Brom the last couple of games. We don't usually think of a Pulis side as being free scoring, but they've got five goals in the last two games, a 3-2 win.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Against Palace when they raced into the 3-0 lead. Second half obviously wasn't too good for them, but they held on for the victory. And then to get a point at the King Power Stadium, a really good result. They perhaps didn't deserve it, and they only really had a couple of sights of goal in that game. Rondon scored when Huth probably should have done better. He just got shrugged off the ball too easy to give them the lead against Leicester, and then it took a fantastic strike from Gardner for a free kick to get the point. But a point nonetheless, and it's a really good point for them, and it's taken them a long way away from the relegation zone now. They're 12 points clear of the bottom three, and I would probably say they're safe now. They're 4 points away from the 40-point mark, but with 10 games left of the season, you'd expect them to get there and quite a bit further before the end of the campaign. So I would say that they're safe, and it's not an easy game for United. I think it would be just as tough, if not tougher, than their match against Watford last night. So there's no guarantee that we'll get 3 points out of that. And as you mentioned, West Ham as well, Everton, they've generally tended to be better away from home than they have at home this season, but they're still a pretty difficult team to beat. They've actually lost fewer games than Man City up in fourth so far this season. So again, no guarantees West Ham getting 3 points there. So every week, really, every match day this season seems to be throwing up some results which completely change the complexion of the table and completely change who the favourites are. And it's a dangerous game to try and predict anything at the moment.
It is, yeah. And I think just going back to West Brom quickly, I'd agree they do seem safe now. You know, 7 points out of nine in their last three games. Because I was quite worried for them at one point, but they really seem to have turned a corner there. And they seem safe now. And, you know, down the bottom, it's getting very close. Obviously, just three teams, Sunderland, Norwich and Newcastle level there. But that win for Swansea last night, huge for them, wasn't it? And Bournemouth beating Southampton as well. You know, would you say that it's just three teams now for two places? Because the other day we said Swansea are in the mix as well. But considering Swansea beat Arsenal, and now I think Swansea's fixtures, they get much, much easier now. Is it just a race between those three now, Sunderland, Norwich and Newcastle?
Yeah, I think Swansea might... They're still just about in there, but that win at the end, which was so huge, so unexpected, that it would take a bit of a collapse and a bit improved form from the other three teams down there, Sunderland, Norwich and Newcastle, for them to drop back in. I'd probably say Bournemouth are now pretty safe. They've surprised everyone, really, by doing so well so far this season. And that victory over Southampton on Tuesday night was a really impressive victory. So they've done really well, and I think they can breathe a little easier now. They're 8 points clear. Swansea only 6 points clear. That's certainly not an unassailable gap, but if they can perform like they did against Arsenal and pick up some of those results, okay, they were a bit lucky to get the win, but if they can get a bit more luck and pick up those results, they've only lost 12 games all season, which is significantly fewer than the four teams below them in the table. I think that they've got the quality in their squad to just carry on picking up pretty regular points that should just nudge them to safety. So I would be surprised if they're dragged right back into the mix, and for me it does seem to be mainly between those three. And of those three right now, the three in the bottom the two in the bottom three, Newcastle and Norwich, probably looking like the more likely. Newcastle not in good form, Norwich in absolute dire form, Sunderland improving and picking up points. Okay, they're not winning very many games, but they're playing much better. The games they are losing, they're not losing by a lot. And then they're picking up the odd draw here and there. Just exactly what you need to do in the relegation battle. Just pick up some regular points, even if you're not winning games. And as we mentioned many times, the Allardyce factor counts for a lot for me, I think. And Norwich, I think, certainly alongside Villa are the most likely to go down. Could end up being between Sunderland and Newcastle. And with that derby coming up in a couple of weeks' time, that has the potential to be a huge one as well.
Yeah, and there's some massive games this weekend as well. We've already said about Swansea and Norwich, and then you've got Newcastle. They play Bournemouth as well. And I think for Newcastle, it was a bit of a strange game last night, wasn't it? They go to Stoke, who I think they'd lost six games in a row, but then had back-to-back wins going into that game. And as well, I was watching the highlights back of that game. The wind, it was so windy. I mean, I know it often is the Potteries there at the Britannia, but it was so, so windy. And I mean, Stoke's goal in that game, Shaqiri, he let fly, and I mean, obviously the wind took it and it absolutely flew into the net, but I was really surprised by Rob Elliott's reaction. It was almost as if when it left Shaqiri's foot, he seemed to think it might have been sailing over the bar, because it wasn't even that far past him. And I think if he'd just been on his toes and stuck out a hand, he might have been able to get something to it, but it raced past him and then he seemed to put his head in his hands as if he just didn't realise what had happened and it had gone in. And bizarre goals conceded, but for Newcastle, it was their first game in 18 days. You know, they'd been away, I think, maybe to Dubai for a warm weather training camp or something like that, and it maybe a bit of rustiness there, but that's a huge game for them this weekend against Bournemouth, isn't it?
It is, and if they can get a win there, it'll be a huge, huge boost there. I still think they've got a lot of quality in their squad and potentially the quality to stay in the division. That's why it's so hard to call, because you think of the likes of Sissoko, Wijnaldum, Shelvey, they're not really bad enough to be relegated, I don't think. They have had injury problems, you have to say that. They've got a long, long injury list. Colaccini among them, the captain. So Shelvey actually captained the side last night, despite only coming in January. But the match against Bournemouth is a difficult one, because Bournemouth, they've been pulling off these odd wins here and there, and they're quite an unpredictable team. They usually play in the same sort of way, and they usually play pretty well in the Premier League, but it's unpredictable whether one week they might take their chances and win, or another week they might not take their chances and be on the end of a pretty disappointing defeat. For Bournemouth, it's a big game. I think a victory there would pretty much put them safe once and for all. For Newcastle, it's absolutely huge, having dropped now below Sunderland. Sunderland obviously moving out of the bottom three during the midweek games with that draw against Crystal Palace. It's huge for both teams. And as you say, that relegation doubleheader this weekend is big for things at the bottom of the table. I think we'll have a much better idea. The thing in Newcastle's favour is obviously they've still got a game in hand as well. So while they're level on points with Sunderland and Norwich at the moment, that game in hand could be crucial. It does come against Manchester City. You do have to say that.
You say it comes against City, yeah. So yeah. You probably say it's not going to be a win, is it? So
it's not going to be a win, but if they can get anything out of that, maybe a point. And even the psychological advantage of having a game in hand, you know, knowing that survival is at this stage in their hands, could be big as well. So it's really tough one to call at the moment, at the bottom at the moment, but this weekend could go a long way to telling us who's going to be down there. If Norwich fall to another defeat against Swansea, which on the form of both times, both teams, you'd probably say is the most likely result, of Newcastle able to beat Bournemouth at St James's Park, then Newcastle will certainly fancy the chance of staying up, and Norwich, they'll be in dire straits.
I was just about to say about Norwich, you would have thought maybe their fixtures might be getting a bit easier. You know, you look at who they've played recently, they've had Liverpool, and then Spurs, West Ham, Leicester and Chelsea, you know, in five of the last six games. So it has been a very tough run. I mean, they've done so badly in those games, you know, losing all but one of those against West Ham. But, you know, they go to Swansea, who, like you said, seem to be improving. And obviously they rested some of their key players last night, so they should be going into that game quite fresh. And then after that, they play Man City after that and then go to West Brom. And we've already said about West Brom that they seem to have turned a corner. So things aren't getting easier for Norwich, and just what you hear in other people say, they seem to be the one that everyone is almost seems to be, you know, siphoning off, with Villa there as going down. But you can't forget, look, you look at the table, they are just still level on points with Sunderland and Newcastle, and neither of those teams have strung together any sustained form this season. So, you know, even though Norwich certainly in the worst form of all those teams, you wouldn't discount them yet. And, you know, they could turn a corner as well. But as it is, like you said, with form, Norwich most likely of the three you'd say to go down.
Yeah, just looking now at the final three games of the season, they come at Arsenal, then at home to Manchester United, then at Everton. So, if they're, yeah, exactly, if they're still around the mix there, then that's going to be pretty difficult for them to get any points from there, which makes this upcoming run of games really, really important. Swansea, West Brom, Newcastle, Crystal Palace in four of their next five, and then Sunderland after that. So five of the next six games come against teams currently in the bottom half of the table. And then with the matches after that, actually, they play Watford after this, so six of the next seven are against teams in the bottom half of the table currently. So if they can get some points out of that, maybe it'll give them a bit of a cushion going into that final three games. But you probably think that they need a bit of a cushion. But if they don't manage to turn their form around and they struggle in those games against the teams in and around them in the table, then it's going to be really difficult to see them launching a late comeback in those final three games of the season, because it's such a hard end to the season for them.
What about Palace? Are they safe yet? Because, you know, they've been on a terrible run of form, haven't they? You know, no win. Is it eight or nine games now? It's no win in the league. And 10 games, yeah. So, you know, 33 points they've got. So they're still, you know, nine clear of those trio of teams down near the bottom. But the way they're going at the moment, can't buy a win. And with others, you'd say, improving. Are they safe, Palace?
I don't think they're entirely safe. If I was a fan of Bournemouth, I'd be feeling a bit more comfortable right now than if I was a fan of Crystal Palace, despite Palace being a point above them in the table. Palace's form is just dreadful. The thing that's in Palace's favour is the return of Yannick Bolasie recently. He made his first start against Sunderland on Tuesday, first start since they last won a game before Christmas. So that's a big boost for them. And the fact that he hasn't started any of their poor run of fixtures says a lot about how important he is to the team and the style that they usually play, because without him, they lack their most direct and their most exciting attacking threat. And obviously, they're so good on the counter-attack usually, that without him and without the likes of Sakho, who's also been missing, Punchin's been missing recently, that takes a lot away from them. The other big positive for Crystal Palace now is that Conor Wickham seems to be scoring again. He scored two really good goals against West Brom, the second especially, and then another two fantastic strikes against Sunderland to rescue a point. So he hadn't scored from open play all season before last Saturday. He's now got four in his last two games. So that's a big boost for Crystal Palace. And if they can finally get their strikers starting to score, then they will start climbing away from the relegation zone. But difficult run of fixtures coming up for them. They've got Liverpool, they've got Leicester, they've got West Ham, and they've got a postponed game against Manchester United somewhere before the end of the season as well. So they've got a tough run of fixtures, and if they don't pick up a win somewhere in there, which the current form is quite hard to see them doing, they could be dragged right into the mire if the teams below them start to pick up a few points. And then, you know, it's a lot of pressure on their shoulders. I would expect them to be safe. I think Norwich and either Sunderland or Newcastle are a lot more prone to going down right now than Crystal Palace are, but I don't think they're particularly safe yet. They need a league victory. They don't seem to be able to buy one at the moment, but those last two games, although a draw at Sunderland isn't the best result for them, certainly would have been seen as 2 points dropped before Christmas in the first half of the season when they're up there challenging for the European places. There are positives to take from those last two results, and I think if they can take that into this weekend's game with Liverpool, which is going to be difficult with Liverpool on the back of that fantastic performance and win over Man City, then they might be able to at least maybe nick a point, which it's just all building blocks in the right direction. Only seven short of that 40-point mark as well. So if they can just edge towards that, it should regain a bit of confidence, because it's certainly lacking at the moment with Palace in such poor form.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, well, it's actually, I was looking, it's actually 11 games now in the league without a win, which, considering that goes dates back to before Christmas, considering where they were the first half of the season and everyone raving about the job Pardew was doing, it's quite an incredible fall from grace. And even, you know, going further past those fixtures you talked about, they host Norwich on the 9th of April. That's the game they'll be looking at. But then after that, Arsenal and Everton, and then their last two games of the season are Stoke and Southampton. It's a really tough end to the season for Palace. And if two of those three teams we've talked about down the bottom, if two of those get their acts together and start stringing together a few wins, Palace could be in real trouble. And it's just so surprising considering where they were. And like you said, I'd also agree with the fact that, you know, you probably say Bournemouth, even though Palace are a point better off, Bournemouth seem to be in a better position at the moment, just because of that form. And when you're in that kind of form, everyone's going to see you come into town, or if you're going to their place, and you're going to really fancy getting the win against them. And they just need something to boost their confidence. And I don't know, with the fixtures coming up, it's hard to see them getting it. And although the one thing I would say is that you'd be surprised if 40 would be enough. I mean, it's probably going to be less than 40 this season. You're going to need to stay up. So interesting to see. But yeah, Palace in real trouble. Let's just move on to some of the other teams that we haven't really talked about. The teams sort of in the top half and in, well, the top of the bottom half, who are doing really well at the moment. Between Stoke in 7th, Everton in 11th, those five teams, just 4 points separate those. And four out of the five won in midweek. Southampton, the only team not to win against Bournemouth. But let's start with Chelsea. They're up into the top half now, sitting there in 10th, and three wins in a row in the league. Things looking good for them.
Yeah, much better now. I think there was obviously questions over the amount of draws they were getting in Hiddink's first few weeks in charge, but now they're finally starting to get the victories, and three decent victories as well. Norwich, they'd rather scrape past Norwich on Tuesday, but it was a good win away to Southampton, a really big win against Newcastle in their league match before that. So they're starting to find a bit of form, and finally that win over Norwich took them to the highest league position since the opening day of the season, which goes to show, you know, the rebuilding job Hiddink's done. And the fact that the likes of, well, Liverpool kicked off their game against Man City below Chelsea in the table, which would have been so disappointing considering how poor Chelsea were in the first half of their campaign. But it also goes to show how well Hiddink has done. And I think you'd still say the European places are beyond them, but anything they can do towards now and the end of the season to keep climbing the table, certainly with a lot of teams above in the upper echelons of the table dropping points, if Chelsea can keep picking up victories as they have been the last few weeks, then it's going to give them a good chance. And it's not an easy game against Stoke on Saturday, but they probably expect to win that. And then they host West Ham in a big game. But then it's Aston Villa and Swansea, which you'd expect them to get decent results in both of those. So it's hard to see Hiddink's unbeaten record ending really anytime soon, unless West Ham go there and get the win. But West Ham themselves have been a bit shaky away from home ever since the opening weeks of the season. So they're in really good shape at the moment. I think the main priority for Hiddink when coming in was get them to climb the table. I think they're only one or two points above the relegation zone when he took over. Now they're 15 clear of the bottom three, so he's done a really good job. The first priority would have get them up the table into the top half, and then anything from there would have been a bonus this season. And he's certainly done the first part, and although it is very close in the middle part of the table, I don't really see them sinking back into the bottom half now with this form they're in.
No, and the only thing for this weekend, you say that maybe Stoke might fancy their chances at Stamford Bridge, is the fact that they've got that huge European game coming up against PSG at home. 2-1 deficit from the first leg, and given that they seem to have eased any, you know, no one really thought they were going to be in trouble, but now that they have, like you say, eased that and gone way clear of the bottom three, do you think there's a chance Hiddink might maybe rest some of his key players ahead of that huge Champions League game?
Potentially, yeah, because they're still very much in the tie, and with more so than a lot of people were expecting, with PSG going into that match in such good form. Even PSG have faltered a little recently. They obviously lost their League One unbeaten record, which was the best in the division's entire history. So they're faltering a little bit at the moment. Chelsea in good form, picking up victories. Their performance in the first leg will give them a lot of optimism going into the second leg, even though it ended in defeat. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they'll go through that tie, which is not what many people expected, with Chelsea sitting in 14th or 15th when the tie was made, I think, and PSG obviously 24-odd points clear at the top of the French league. So it would be a huge bonus if they can manage to get through the Champions League. And obviously, they're still in the FA Cup as well. So, whereas under Mourinho, things looked pretty gloomy for Chelsea and they were struggling to keep their chins above water in terms of the relegation battle, right now, you know, they're pushing up the table in the Premier League. They've got a good chance of going through in the Champions League, into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Things are looking pretty good on a few fronts for Chelsea, and Hiddink's done a fantastic job to turn that around. I think of them, Champions League will probably be their priority, because getting through in Europe will give them such a huge boost, more so than anything they can really do left in the Premier League now. So yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised to see him rest a few players for that big game against PSG, because it's a match they have a real chance of getting something from.
Yeah, and like we've said on previous episodes, you know, there is some weaker ties in the Champions League, and if they go through and avoid one of the big boys like Barcelona or Bayern, Juve, whoever goes through from that tie, there's a real chance that, you know, they could go through to the semis, and once you're there, anything can happen. But just going back to Stoke quickly, really, you know, impressive run from them. Three wins in a row after, I think it was five defeats in a row in all competitions, and they're sitting there seventh, you know, above Liverpool, Southampton, Chelsea, Everton, all these teams that at the start of the season you would say have much stronger squads than Stoke. You know, you've got to give credit to them. Fantastic win again last night in difficult conditions, like I said, against Newcastle. And Butland the star again, wasn't he? Fantastic save at the end.
Yeah, and he's been so good all season. He's just one of a number of Stoke players I've been really impressed with. Mark Hughes is building such a good squad there, and obviously they've splashed quite a lot of money, a lot more than they ever have in their history before, bringing the likes of Mbeula, Shaqiri. They want to sign Arnautovic to a new contract. He hit the bar with a fantastic volley with the last action of the match against Newcastle as well. So they've got so many dangerous players going forward, but also that sturdiness at the back, which they've always really had. Obviously Shawcross out injured at the moment, but when he's back in, they look like such a sturdy outfit, and Butland is able. He must have won them a good 9-10 points this season with the saves he's made, if not more. He's been a fantastic, pretty much a breakthrough star this season. It's his first season as a first team regular for Stoke, and they want to sign him down to a new contract, as they do Arnautovic. And if they can get those two players to commit their future, with the likes of Shaqiri only recently arrived and Mbeula only recently arrived, Bojan obviously there, who can't even get in the team at the moment, the future's looking pretty bright for Stoke, I think. And with that squad, that you wouldn't put it past them pushing for Europe certainly next season, and they wouldn't have given up on the idea of pushing for Europe this season either, because they're only five adrift of the top four, which again is not an unassailable gap by any means.
No, not at all. And Butland, if he keeps going like this, you know, we said that Joe Hart, you know, at fault probably for that first goal in midweek against Liverpool, and it's going to be a difficult decision for Hodgson, isn't it, because Butland has written so many headlines this year. And would you still have Hart as your number one for England at Euro 2016?
I probably would, and I think he will be. But Butland really does need to be strongly considered, because that first goal for Liverpool, Hart is just, his foot movement was non-existent. He absolutely got nowhere near that ball, and he really should have, should have been a fairly comfortable save, whereas Butland has pulled off some sensational stops so far this season. I think Butland's performance level had dropped a little over the last few weeks before that fantastic save against Newcastle last night, but he has still been in really good form, and Fraser Forster's obviously in the mix as well, because he came in and kept six consecutive clean sheets. I've been pretty disappointed with him in the last two games. I think pretty much every goal that's gone past him in the last two games, he should have done better with, which was surprising after such a good return to the side. But all three of them are in good, all three of them are in the mix for the England post probably at Euro 2016. It is going to be a difficult choice for Hodgson. I think Hart will get the nod, partially due to experience. He's been there, done it before, and partially just because he is the number one, and he hasn't really shown bad enough form to be knocked out of that jersey, despite Butland being in good form as well. But certainly strength and depth when it comes to that for Liverpool in goal, in goal at the moment, is looking pretty good for them.
It is, yeah, and yeah, I'd agree with you about Forster. I mean, everyone with that, you know, the Ivanovic header that Chelsea had at the weekend, and everyone seemed to be praising how great a header that was, but you know, Forster, he saw it coming. He got like a very good hand to it and just completely missed it with his kind of punch away. I was very surprised that everyone seemed to keep saying that it was an amazing Ivanovic header when, I don't know, I thought Forster could have easily saved that one. Yeah, like I say, he's gone off form a little bit. But let's just circle back to the North London derby. That's the massive game this week, and the first match of the weekend as well. Which way do you see it going? Give us a prediction.
I think I see it going the way of Tottenham. I think Arsenal are just bottling it too much at the moment. It's obviously a huge, huge one. And Tottenham, they've got such a young squad. Whether that will be a positive or a negative in such a big, high-pressure game, more probably the highest pressure game then that most of them have played in, if not all of them have played in, really, in terms of domestic action at least. I think I'm going to go for a Tottenham win. They weren't at their best against West Ham, but Arsenal's style might just suit them a little bit more, and at White Hart Lane as well with home advantage, I think I'm going to go for a Tottenham 2-1 home victory.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Spurs as well. I think, like you said, it's just the way Arsenal are playing at the moment, and Spurs, little blip in midweek, but you fully expect them to come back. You know, Dele Alli, he hasn't played 90 minutes in midweek. It's going to be a big boost to have him from the start, and I think Kane will be really, really angry about some of those chances he squandered against West Ham. So I think Spurs will be right at it, and I think just them being at home, Spurs, I think that's just going to give them the edge. I think if Arsenal had been at home, then I might have fancied them to get a point or get the win, but I think Spurs, the way they're going at the moment, I'd fully expect them to get the win, and then it's all pressure, you know, depending on the result, it's all pressure on Leicester. They're the Saturday evening kickoffs. They'll have a couple of hours to see what's going on. We're obviously covering all those big games this weekend on sportsmall.co.uk. Live coverage of all the big Premier League games. Barnes, thanks a lot this weekend, and thanks a lot for you guys for listening. We'll be back next week to look back on those results at the weekend, look ahead to match day 30, and much, much more. We'll see you then.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.